Happy Sunday, you guys. No one tell me the game score. But there's a football game on and you guys are here, so I know where the blessing is going to be. It's going to be on you, yep, for choosing the better things. In Jesus' name. Is she telling the game score? No. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. So, Holy Spirit, teacher, we submit our hearts. We submit our understanding to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just rebuke anything that is unbelieving and not of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I'm going to continue what I started last week. And we called it the theology of blessing. A lot of people have a belief about God's blessing, or they have a belief about money, or they have a belief about what God will do with money or his blessing. And honestly, a lot of it is not the Word of God. And so they have a false theology. They have an errant theology. It's your belief system. Theology just means your belief system. And trust me, what you believe is important. What you believe is important because we receive from God through the things that we believe and the things that we say. So if we believe the wrong thing, so here's an example. You may have heard it before, and I may shorten this, but there was a steamship coming from England over to America, and a man bought a ticket for that steamship, and it was back in the early part of the century. And he packed enough food in his bag to make the journey back then, which was a few weeks, to get across the Atlantic and get there safely. And so he would stay in his room, and he was excited because he was going on a journey with a destination. How many people know that you're on a journey with a destination, right? And our destination is heaven. We have a heavenly home. This is not our home, but we have a journey. And so when they arrived in New York, he was greeted by the steward as he was getting off the ship. And they said, "Sir, how did you enjoy your voyage?" And he said, it was good. I mostly just stayed in my room and I had enough food. I just had enough food in my pack. And I lasted and it was all good. And he goes, "Oh, sir, didn't anyone tell you with the price of your ticket, you had availability to all of our entertainment, all of the buffets, all of the thing. It was all included. You didn't take part in any of the benefits that we had." And so he kind of shuffled off into New York City, which was his destination, but he was kind of bummed out that that whole journey could have been so much different. The reason why I say this as Christians, if you do not believe correctly, you can kind of have a journey on your way to heaven that's really outside of the blessing of God. And God's already paid your ticket. He's given you benefits. He's given you things so that you can be the head and not the tail, that you can be above only and not beneath. But if you don't know it or if you don't believe it, you'll never walk in it because it's activated by your belief and you have to know it. You can only believe what you know. And it's incredible how many Christians don't know certain things or they have assumptions about it. So I'm gonna get into this. We're not gonna spend a lot of time. I'm gonna get into it. I'm gonna try to be kind of hard as far as stating what God says, and hopefully your heart is in a place to receive it. Sometimes if we have a poverty mentality or a mentality of something else, sometimes our heart wrestles with these things, but it's just the Word of God. So that's what I want to bring forth to you tonight. So what you believe is important. Deuteronomy 8:18, let's start right here. Let's kick down some poverty cows right now. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this: "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power or ability to get wealth." Okay, God gives you the power to get wealth. How many people can agree that you've been empowered by God to get wealth? Okay, if you have a religious spirit or a spirit that's was wired differently, which I was. I grew up in the Catholic Church and the vow of poverty equal godliness, and so I had a hard time just taking God at his word, right? But the word is like a hammer, and it hammers the rock in pieces, and sometimes our foundations have to change. But he says, God gives you power to get wealth. And here's why, that he may confirm his covenant. Everyone say covenant. That he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Here's why God gave you power to get wealth, so that he can be good on his promise that he gave us in the covenant. Here's why I say that. A lot of people say, well, you know, God wants to bless me so that I can feed the poor. God wants to bless me so that I can give my money away. God will give me money if I, you know, and we always put a condition on it that God never put. God just said, you're blessed because I said you're blessed. And the reason why I give you power to get wealth is because I said I was going to give you power to get wealth. We have to stop putting conditions on our blessing. Oh, well, you know, God can give me a better car, but what I can do is I can honor, you know, we always have to make an excuse instead of us just saying, no, I'm God's blessed and favored child, and I'm the head and not the tail, and I'm not afraid to agree with what God said about me. Okay, so we need to be careful how we justify God's blessing on our lives. And like a child, you need to receive it as it is. I'm glad young people are here, because when you learn these foundational things, you don't wrestle with them later in life. So blessed people are covenant-minded. Say that with me. Blessed people are covenant-minded. Whether you know it, God has made a couple of agreements with us as the church, and if we don't know these agreements with him, sometimes we can't benefit in all that he has for us. So a covenant is an agreement with God. God says, all that I have is yours, and all that you have is mine. Let's make this agreement. And God made this twice in the Bible. He made it with Abraham to bless the Jewish race, and then he made a new covenant with Jesus Christ. That's why we have an Old Testament or Old Covenant, and New Testament and New Covenant. Those are both covenants and agreements with God that, trust me, we have always benefited on these agreements with God. Okay? Listen, while we were yet sinners, undeserving, unworthy, Christ died for us, that he would bring us into this covenant, into this new birth. We've always made out on this agreement with God. So it says here, covenant people, blessed people are covenant-minded. Hebrews 8:6 says this, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is a superior to theirs as a covenant, of which he, Jesus, is a mediator, and mediator is superior to the old one, the old covenant, since the new covenant is established on better promises. There's an old covenant and a new covenant. Both of these covenants apply to us, and I'll show you real quick how, but it says that through Christ we have a better covenant. Our new covenant far surpasses the old, and here's why. Here's the reason why. The blessing of God, the prosperity of God, the wealth of God, the hand, the favor of God on your life, that all came through Abraham under the old covenant, and it continues to you, the church, today. But the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the new birth, the promise of God leaving temples made with hands to dwell in us came in the new covenant. That's why it's a far superior one. We not only get the blessings in this life, but we get the blessing of eternity as a result of it. Man, we could preach for weeks just about the covenant of the new birth and what happened to you in the new birth and who you are in Christ and who your identity is in Christ, okay? But we're not going to do that right now. We're going to continue on in the blessing. So how many people know that you're a temple of the Holy Ghost? He actually dwells within you. I think of this way. If you're God inside-minded and you realize that the God of the universe dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, then any situation you walk into, it's a fixed fight. That you potentially are gonna win depending on what you believe, because the God of the universe lives on the inside of you. This whole cowering down and, you know, the wimpy Christian thing and the defeated Christian thing, I don't get it, because it's nowhere in the Word. Okay? What the devil's done, he's tricked Christians. He's duped them into self-condemnation. He's duped them into poverty. Okay? One thing about money, right? People think money is just to buy new shiny objects. Money is way more than just being able to buy a nice shiny toy. actually, that's the least of what money does. Money is influence, too. People who have money have great influence. They speak and people listen, right? It could be the most nobody, but because they have great wealth, everyone's like, oh, wait a second, let me see what he has to say, okay? But the devil has stolen the money from the church, and when we go say, they go, oh, poor people, who wants to listen to them? Oh, their life is a mess. Their kids are all on drugs, they're all messed up, you know, so they look at us because the devil's tricked us, and they're like, no, they have no power. Why would I listen to them? And so he's tricked us into it. So the devil can't make you do stuff, but he can trick you to do things, and we need to be careful, okay? You guys are highly, highly blessed people. You're a miracle waiting to happen. You have great power. You have great ability to make wealth. Great ability for success, and many of us have never even gotten in the race. Listen, folks, you got to do something. You got to take these holy hands, these blessed hands, and put them to the plow somewhere. All that your hands shall touch shall be blessed. So a lot of us are sitting on the wayside. We're a parked car. We're waiting for God to do something, and it's not how it works. You got to take your blessed self and do something with it. Galatians 3:14 says this, through Christ Jesus, everyone say through Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles. What's a Gentile? A Gentile is a non-Jew. It's someone who doesn't have a covenant. So I'm a Gentile, okay? I don't have any Jewish blood in me. I have no rights to a covenant under Israel. So you guys are probably mostly Gentiles too, depending on what your lineage is, okay? Want to hear something funny? Total sidetrack, you guys, but the Mormon Church has a Book of Mormon, which is a fake, like a fake Bible, and it was given by a fake angel, and they gave fake history in the Bible, and what they said was two Jews came out of Israel, they came into North America, one was cursed and turned into the American Indian with dark skin, and then the Mormons and the American Indians had like wars and stuff like that. Well, they did a genetic test, and none of the American Indians have any Middle Eastern blood or Israeli blood or anything. They all came from the East. They all came from the land bridge over from the East. So literally their whole like Book of Mormon has been undone by genetic science. But anyway, so we are blessed of God. And through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles. That's us. With the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Know this, that all the blessing of Abraham that came on the Jews, the highly blessed of the earth, is on you as well. And it came through Jesus Christ. You are a wild olive tree grafted into the olive tree of Israel. So actually you can say in the spirit, you're a Jew. You are, because you're part of Abraham's seed and you're part of his covenant now in the spirit, okay? In the natural, you might be whatever you are, Italian, Irish, African-American, whatever you are, that's the natural. But in the spirit, you are a Jew after the spirit. And the covenants, it says here, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. So even though we were Gentiles and outside of the promise, it has come upon us, okay? You have to know these things. Ephesians 2:12 says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. That's where we all were before Christ. We were outside of the covenants, we were outside of hope, and we did not have God. And when you came into Christ, you got the blessing of Abraham on you, you got the blessing and the wealth of the Jews on you, and you get the blessing of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Are you taught, like, what's the downside to being a Christian? Oh, someone might tease you. Eh, the upside's too good. It is too amazing, right? It's too amazing. The only reason everyone is not saved and received Jesus, because the Bible says they've been blinded in their eyes to the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes it's just the devil you need to get out of the way, because it's all just too good. I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful, thankful, thankful. I could just thank God all day long and just go through these small promises. There's just too much to be thankful for. So a blessed person is covenant-minded. Let me just show you something. because I want to show you someone who is covenant-minded. The reason why I'm saying this is you need to be covenant-minded. Everywhere you go, you're like, I got a covenant. Somehow we're going to come out on top here. I know all the weight is against me, all the stress is against me. It looks like a hard thing, but somehow with God, this is all going to work out, and you go after it, okay? You don't back down from a fight. You don't back down from life. You go after it because you're a covenant person. And you're like, you know what? This is a fixed fight. This will turn out in my favor because I walk with God. I have an agreement with God. So God made a covenant with Abraham. We talked about that. And he sealed it with circumcision. Does anyone want to come up here and describe what circumcision is? Me neither. But if you don't know what it is, it happens on the eighth day to all Hebrew children. And I don't know why he chose it, but in Genesis 17, 9 through 11, it says this. Now, God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant that you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Okay? So God's sign of a covenant nation is circumcision in their males. Okay? If you're circumcised physically, it's like, up, covenant person, walks with God, blessed. Blessed person. Okay? I had to read that because, do you guys know the story of David and Goliath? There's something so awesome in the story of David and Goliath that people miss. Okay? So David faces Goliath, right, and beats him, and everyone thinks, well, he beat him because he wrestled a lion, he wrestled a bear, you know, those things. But there's a secret in here as to why he beat them, okay? So let's read this together. 1 Samuel 17:26, and David said to the men who stood by, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What is David actually saying here? Who is this guy who has no covenant with God? Like, God is not on his side, and God is definitely on my side because we are circumcised and we are covenant. I don't care how big you are. You must die. This is a fixed fight because I'm not alone. I'm with God. So when he says, who is the person without a covenant challenging people with a covenant? That's what he was saying. See, he was a covenant-minded man. And we too, people who are blessed, are covenant-minded. They remember the words of God. They remember what they have. You have the blessing of Abraham and the blessing that came through Christ Jesus. You got a full stack, a loaded deck. It's amazing to be covenant-minded because it raises faith in your heart as you come against impossible situations, okay? And so David was a covenant-minded man, and we too need to be covenant-minded people. So you're a person who has two covenants, the new birth and identity with Jesus and the blessing of Abraham, being grafted into the wild olive tree. So what does it look like to walk in the blessing, right? Because the hand of God is on you to be successful. I'm going to read some scriptures. If you didn't hear last week's message too, it was a great beginning to this. I encourage you to do that because it will build faith in you. But the hand of God is on you to be successful. Proverbs 10:22, the New Living Translation says this. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. We took a test last week to see if you kind of had a poverty spirit or you had a problem with some of the things. And it was like if you agree with these statements. And one of the statements all rich people have messed up lives. They have messed up kids. They have messed up lives. And you know, if you believe that, then why would you ever want to be rich? Because you don't want a messed up life either. But it says here, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. No drama, no trouble, no nothing. And if you look up the word rich in the Hebrew, it means rich. And so we can struggle with that, and we can say, well, God, just give me enough to take care of myself. I don't want anything else. See, again, it's like we're putting conditions on God's word, okay? And the devil loves that. We just need to receive it as it is, whatever it is, okay? God, if you said you've made me rich with no sorrow with it, I will continue to speak that, and I thank you for that, and I will go after it. Remember, Lisa, when you were going for a job? It was, we were talking, and it was like, no, you need to ask them, you know, ask for the extra stuff, ask for this, ask for a relocation fee, whatever it might be, you know, because that's how blessed people think. It's like Joseph was blessed, and everywhere he went was blessed because of him. Same with us. Every company we're in, they're blessed because of us, okay? You either believe that or not, okay? Even when Joseph was thrown in the prison, he became the head of the prison, right? You might have a job that feels like a prison. At least be the head of the prison wherever you are, right? You need to be the, right? You need to just let that blessing raise you up. When I got a job at a really good company, right? Back in 88, maybe 1988, it was Putnam Investments, a multi-billion-dollar mutual fund investment firm, and I came in at the bottom of the ladder. Like right at the bottom of the ladder. So if there's a ladder, I was below that rung. And I was doing a job that was just so brainless and mindless and terrible. But I was a blessed person. And I was a new Christian about a year old, and I believed that the hand of God was on me, and I was blessed. And God worked. So let me say this too. I left college to follow a call, okay? To preach the gospel, to follow God into what he wanted me to do. So I didn't have a degree. So I came into this company, no degree, no nothing, anything, except I believe God's favor was on me, okay? And I stayed there for 10 years, and I worked like in the warehouse. I ended up driving their truck, from out of the truck into, a coordinator position in the warehouse. Then I jumped into, you know, a supervisory thing. But I ping-ponged back and forth, where I ended up on the whole other side of the company by the time I left, in an analyst job working with IT in business. And when I left that company, right, they needed someone with a master's degree to fill the position that I had. Okay, so here's the thing. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have the stuff maybe I should have had, and I definitely didn't have a career path that should have got me where I was, but it's a fixed fight. I'm a covenant person, right? And covenant people just say, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna keep going for it. I'm not gonna quit. I'm not gonna say this is it. I'm gonna get out of the boat and walk on the water like Peter did, right? If Jesus said this, if he said he's given me power to get wealth, let's go for it, right? So a lot of people live on the sideline. They're like, okay, God, you just tell me what to do. That's not how it works. You need to get into the fight. You need to run at your giant, right? So when the giant says, no, 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 it'll never happen, you go no, and you run towards him, because there's no covenant there. You have the covenant. Does that make sense, you guys? It makes sense. God is so good. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has promised to meet all your needs according to his riches. To me, take that one to the bank. That is awesome. Awesome. I have a track that plays in the back of my spirit over and over and over and over again, that we will never suffer lack. We will never Righteous never see the will never see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Just the Holy Spirit saying, never, 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 never. You will always be in abundance. You'll always be good. You'll always be good because you come in agreement with his word. That same track needs to be running in your spirit over and over again. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. He'll meet all of your need. And if your need increases, more comes in. Psalm 34:10 says, those who trust in the Lord will never lack any good thing. Here's the thing, though. Here's where the rubber meets the road. If you're in lack, if you're in lack, you need to get God's scriptures out and just begin to speak them. Just speak them. And I may get into this. I may or may not at the end get into how we do that, okay? I was talking to my wife, and we were in a place where we had some debt that hung over us for years, okay? And so we got our scriptures out. We got scriptures out that talked about supernatural debt release. We found them all, right? The one where Peter is coming into Jerusalem, and they say, doesn't your master pay taxes? And so Jesus went over and said, do we pay taxes? And he said, yeah, go fish, and when you pull up the fish, there'll be a coin in its mouth. Just supernatural debt reduction, like they needed to pay their taxes, and God brought it through a fish, right? There were prophets, school of the prophets, and they were cutting down something with an axe. The axe head falls into the water, and he goes, last master, it was borrowed. Again, he's in debt because what he borrowed is now gone. He can't pay it back. And so he threw a stick in the water, did something, and the axe head, the iron floated. It came out, and he had supernatural debt relief. We found all the scriptures where God supernaturally smote debt. And we said, God, this is like an enemy before you. And we began to speak it. And we had the craziest, awesome, coolest things happen in our lives that totally eliminated our debt. And I said, honey, we don't speak those scriptures anymore because I forgot, we don't have to. Like, we don't have to. We took God's word. We took him at his word, like slaying our giant, like a covenant person slaying our giant. And God did some crazy stuff that we could never do. We could never do it on our own, but he walked us through something that totally got rid of it. And it wasn't debt forgiveness, you guys. We paid cashola, ping, 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 and paid off the debt, right? Are you walking through life mindful of the blessing on your life? Are you running at your giants? Are you speaking big things to your mountains? That's what God wants us to do. A blessed person sees life differently. They are with God. They are mindful of his promises. Now, I did talk about this, but you can't move a parked car. You have to be someone of action. So a lot of us have dreams. It's like, oh man, I got a dream. It might be God, it might not be God. I have an idea for a business. I have an idea for something. My advice always to you is just move ahead and go for it, okay? You do that, look at the scripture here, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established, okay? So you do everything with God. You say, God, I'm moving in this direction. If you need to tell me anything, if you do it, but you need to move. We need to be people who move. It's incredible how, like, God will give someone $1 million idea. And to me, if you have an idea that's worth $1 million, I'll buy it off you for a dollar. Because that's all it's worth if you're not going to do anything with it. It's not even worth a buck, right? It's not worth that until you go and put your hand to the plow. The Bible says, all that you put your hands to shall be blessed, okay? We need to get ourselves moving again. And God will guide you, and he will do it. My suggestion is this, you guys, dream bigger dreams. Go after bigger things. If you think you can get a job here, go for one above it or three above it. Like, just go for it. Joyce Meyer has a thing. She says, do it afraid. We're so afraid, right? Fear just paralyzes you. You just need to learn to just head out and go do it, okay? We need to be doers, because here's why. We're blessed people. When we do anything on this earth with God, it is a blessing waiting to happen. So include God in everything, but let your hands be busy and dream bigger dreams. What you believe is important, okay? There's a difference. Listen to these two statements. There's a difference between these two. Something good is going to happen to me today. Right? That seems very positive. It's like a good statement, right? Here's the other one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give me that mountain. Caleb, at 85 years old, when they were taking the promised land, he said, I want that mountain. I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. Give me that mountain. And he went and he conquered. He disposed everyone in that. So here's the difference between these two statements. Something good is going to happen to me today. Passive. It's a passive statement. You're just going to, something good is going to happen. I don't know how, but it's going to be good, right? It's a good positive statement, right? But there's passivity to it. Where the other one is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go give me that mountain. That's someone who is going after something. God is going to bless the second one because you're in motion. You're running towards your Goliath. You're running towards your giant. The Bible says that David was speaking to his giant as he ran towards him. I love that. Some of us might have been like backing up as we're dealing with Goliath. He like ran towards him because there was no way in his mind that an uncircumcised enemy was going to beat him. Do you have that mindset? Right? The Bible says this. If your strength fails you in the time of battle, little was your strength. Here's why I say that. Because we all talk a good game. But when you get into the battle, are you really going after your giant? Are you really speaking? Are you really? See, we just need to be people of action, okay? It's one thing for us to say we would do it. It's another thing to do it. And trust me, you guys, life is more fun when you go on adventures with God. It's more fun. It's better. Some of you, let me say this, some of you don't own a house. Some of you don't own your own property. One of the best investment decisions you can have is to purchase property or to purchase real estate or to have your own house, because historically it will continue to go up. I was looking at a house. I have a thing on Zillow in my town, right? So Zillow sends me an update every time there are houses for sale, because it shows the median income, the median price of the homes in my town. And when the town goes up, my house goes up. So I'm just keeping an eye on my house, okay? I don't plan to live in my house forever. I will sell my house at a profit and move on and keep on working my debt down, okay? That's just what we want to do, okay? So we're not, it's not a forever house. It's just a house. And so we look at Zillow, and I was looking at a house in 1995. It was like, you know, $150,000. Now it's in the $450,000s. I live in East Bridgewater, and so expensive houses might have been peaking out at $499,000. Now they're hitting the $700,000s. I'm like, what's going on here? But a lot of us, I say that is because real estate goes up. Historically, it will go up and continue to go up. But a lot of us don't have a home. And God wants you to get out of the boat. Let me give you some practical advice. Go to, what would you call them? Loan officers or what? A mortgage company. Go to a mortgage company and talk to someone and say, I want to get a house. And they might say, well, we're looking at everyone, you can't get it yet, but that doesn't mean anything. You've stepped out of the boat. They're gonna tell you, okay, this is what you can afford, here's some debt you gotta take care of, here's some stuff, and you with God begin to take steps towards your home. There's a lot of people just out of fear, or they think, oh, I could never do it, and they're paying like rent to other people. So you ever do your taxes at the end of the year when you do rent? It's like, oh man, I paid $24,000 in rent to someone else. I gave someone else $24,000, not my own house. Remember, when it's your house, that $24,000 goes in your house, in your pocket when you sell, okay? So again, there's things in life that we sometimes don't do because we think we can't or we're afraid. And a covenant-minded person doesn't care about either of those. They just think, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they get out of the boat and they walk on the water, and it's amazing. Let me end with this, you guys. Here's our formula that we use to walk in any of the blessings of God and to be mindful of his covenant, okay? We find scriptures. And you can Google it. Just Google scriptures and find it, you know, based on the subject you want. And then we begin to just speak out those scriptures. Father, we thank you that this scripture says this. And Father, I have it now. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as a natural result, our faith begins to rise. It just happens. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, this is what God's saying about me. This is what God's saying about me. And faith begins to rise. Okay? And once faith rises in your heart, you begin to see the miracles. And then we begin to declare what God is doing for us now. For instance, favor. We do speak favor scriptures. And I'm just saying this, what I believe. You don't have to believe this about me, but what you believe about me doesn't matter. What I believe about me matters, okay? In agreement with the word. I believe wherever we go, we're favored. We walk into a room, we have favor. We meet strangers, we have favor with them. Someone swears at me, they still like me. It's right, right? We're favored wherever we go. We're the favor of God's on us. We can't not have favor. And so we find scriptures like this. Psalm 44:3 says, we did not conquer the land with our swords. It was not our own strength that gave us victory. It was by your mighty power that we succeeded. It was because you favored us and smiled on us. So we never take the credit like for our battles. We say it was the favor of God on us that brought us this victory. And we begin to speak these things, and we begin to expect these things, and we begin to get it in our heart, and we say the favor of God is on us now, okay? When you come in agreement with God's word through faith, supernatural ability just is released. And we need to know that, that faith in God's word brings miraculous things. So we begin to speak it. And I'll tell you this, the blessing of God just, it just rests on our home. It rests on our kids. It rests on our stuff. It rests on our animal. It's just, it's tangible, you guys. You feel it. It's thick. It's just there. You sense it, okay? But we're actively engaging it as well. And you can too. Here's the last one, my children. The Bible calls, in the Bible, the Bible speaks about children a lot as your seed. Your offspring, your seed, okay? And so these scriptures, it says, Isaiah 44:3, I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing on your offspring. We speak these things. Our kids are blessed. It's like, it's too bad you were born to us because the blessing on us is now on you, okay? That's what the Bible says. They can't help but be blessed, okay? I will pour my spirit on your seed and my blessing on your offspring, right? Everything I'm saying, you can say too. My kids are blessed. The word of God says it. They are blessed. Psalm 112:1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. My kids shall be mighty on the earth. Every single one of them. Every one of them. Just speak that word. So here's the thing. Sometimes we get into the how. How, God, are you going to do this? How are you going to? You need to leave the how off the table and replace it with who. I don't care how. I just know who. I just know who. I know it's you, God. I know you're going to do this. Your blessing is on my kids. Your blessing is on my family. Your blessing is on my income. I don't care how it's going to happen. How am I going to get out of this debt? Don't even worry about it. God will come up with a different plan every time anyways. Don't try to figure it out. Just give him glory and give him praise in Jesus' name. Let me ask you something. Are you covenant people?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
The blessing of God is on you. You have a theology of blessing, and that's powerful in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and pray. We're going to have the worship team come up. We're going to worship as well at the end. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Let me just pray and bless you guys. We have a song. Or two that we're going to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, when I look out, I see blessed people in Jesus' name. God, when I look out, I see blessed people. I can't help it, Father God, because the same word I see on me is the same word on everyone here. There is no favorites in your kingdom, Father God. There are no favorites, Father, only those who believe and those who don't believe. And Father, the reason why we don't believe is we just don't know. But Father, I see blessing in Jesus' name. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that blessing. Father God, if faith has risen in hearts, Father God, we release that blessing. Father, I pray for vision, that those who have been stuck and stuck and stuck and they haven't moved and they're waiting for you to move, Father God, I pray for vision, Father God, that they would wake up in a new day and they would get out and they would move in Jesus' name. They may move by an inch or they move by a mile, but Father God, they're going to move. And Father, as they move with you. They move with you, covenant kids, in Jesus' name. Father, I see people getting new jobs. I see people in new homes. I see people reevaluating the bad condition they've allowed to just sit there. Father, that no more is that going to just sit in their house and in their lives. That is going to go in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these covenant people. They are blessed. They are the head and they are not the tail. They are above only continually. In Jesus' name. Father, we believe your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name.